Hey, this is Karen. I'm so glad you're here, and I can't wait to introduce you to my favorite people in the world, rock movers. Rock movers are people who are doing what others see as impossible. They are achieving goals that were once only dreams. She's probably a mom, wife, sister, friend, CEO, or entrepreneur, and she's an all-around rock star. While she's moving rocks out of her own bag, you can bet that she's helping move the rocks for other women too. And I know she's moving rocks for me. So come on in and join us and meet my rock movers. Hey, rock movers. So excited this morning to share these two. I don't have just one guest. I have two this morning. Amazing, amazing women that are just moving rocks all across America and probably beyond. So we're going to find out today. I've got Ricky Weber and Alyssa Clement, the dynamic duo of Three Levels of Greatness. So ladies, welcome, welcome, welcome. Thank you for being here today.
Thank you for having us.
Fun today having all of this, but Alyssa is on the road, so she is traveling and transitioning. So thank you for taking time to be here in the beautiful state of North Carolina. And Ricky, you are in Philadelphia, or you're in where are you at? Ohio?
Yes, I'm okay. In Ohio. Yes.
Okay, so we never know where these women are going to pop up. They're just all over the place. But today, I just want to share with my listeners and my rock movers your story, because I think it's just so impactful what you guys do. So without any more ado, Ricky, tell us, what are you doing? And then we'll let Alyssa talk. What are you doing to move rocks for your life?
Absolutely. Again, thank you for having us. So I was born and raised in Connecticut.
Yeah.
And I, at the age of 18, is when I accepted Jesus Christ as my personal savior. So I didn't grow up in church. From the age of 19 is when I really got serious about my relationship with God. And so that's how I ended up in Ohio. You know, following what I should be doing. And so it, hindsight, it makes absolute sense as to why, and we can get into that a little later as to, you know, why I ended up in Ohio. And so being an ordained minister, I actually, for myself, I take time every morning from 7, and sometimes it may last till 9, depending on what my schedule is. I actually take time, with God, my prayer journal, my Bible, you know, just listening for instructions to see what it is that he would have me do for that day. And then, you know, being a single mom, I say I'm a single mom, not a single parent, because her father has been really involved in her life, in Alyssa's life. So, you know, being a single mom for 20 something years now, I just wanted to make sure she had the best life that she could, you know, better than what I had. So, you know, trying to instill in her the things that, you know, I wish I had growing up, and so that she can be the wonderful, beautiful young lady she is today. I'm so proud of her. And I'm so excited. I never, ever dreamt that, you know, I would ever be working alongside her, that God would be using us the way that he has. Minus having to go through the hardship, you know, of the people that we're serving. But I am just so super excited. I'm honored to be working alongside my daughter. I get so giddy about it. She's just so special to me. She's my miracle baby. I call her my baby girl, even though she's an adult, but she's my life. So
they're always our babies. I don't care how old they get. They are always our babies, right? Well, Alyssa, please share. Tell us about you and introduce yourself, and then just tell us what you're doing to take care of yourself these days.
Sure. So right now I live in Philadelphia, right outside in New Jersey. And what I the biggest challenge for me, especially during COVID. So before COVID, I went into the office 5 days a week. I would take the train to work. I would just walk around millions of people in the city, just go lunch, dinner all the time. And so when COVID happened and everything was remote, so I was working home remotely and just living alone and just having to deal, like just be by yourself all day long was just really tough. So when I take care of myself, I do a lot of yoga, I do some meditation, and I love being outside. So I live right near the Benjamin Franklin Bridge and right along the Delaware River. So just walking across the bridge, walking along the water, just seeing the sights and city, doing things outside that were still socially distant were some of the ways that I really take care of myself. And it helped, and I feel so much better, and it's so important for self-care and all your mental health and all of that. So those are some of the activities that I started picking up.
Awesome. And I know one of the things you're doing is taking a little bit of time to enjoy the remote working with this little road trip that you're on. So I think there's little moments that we can all pull out of this situation, as hard as it is, to see some good. And I love that y'all are both doing that. So the next question I want to ask, and Ricky alluded to this, and I mentioned it, the three levels of greatness. And I just want to ask you ladies to speak to that, because I feel like that is a huge rock in our culture, in our society, in our world today, that y'all are helping move. So if you would speak to that and just share with my listeners what three levels of greatness is.
Absolutely. So three levels of greatness, it's a God-inspired organization where we provide safe housing and wraparound supportive services to victims of human trafficking. So men and women ages 18 and older who have been victimized in whether it's sex trafficking or labor trafficking. And that's why I was saying when I said earlier that, you know, having been picked up from Connecticut to come here to Ohio is, I mean, it's just we are fourth in the nation for human trafficking. And with that, it's because of how many calls are made that could potentially be human trafficking. So the actual cases, we are 14th in the nation for actually having cases of human trafficking. So there's very little housing, safe housing for the victims. So they're identified, but where do they go? So the need is so great here in Ohio. So we want to start in Ohio, then of course, you know, move it to four other states, but we want to make sure that we provide the safe housing training, because it's not just enough. To me, I don't think it's just enough to have a safe place to live, you know, because if you don't give them the tools they need to succeed, they're just going to be right back out in the street.
Alyssa, you want to share what y'all do, what your part of the organization is?
Yeah, sure. So I am the chief financial officer. My mom is CEO and founder. And basically I consider my biggest job is just spreading awareness of us and trying to get as many people in our company as we can, whether that's through volunteers, whether that's through partnerships. Raising funds is a big piece for nonprofits. So handling the finances, and then really just making sure that people know about us so that way we can help these human trafficking survivors.
Yeah, I mean, that's always the largest piece is just, you have this mission and it's a great mission, but you can't do the mission without the funds.
Yes.
So, how can we as a community support you? What can we do? Because we're all becoming so much more aware of the human trafficking around us. But what can we do to make a difference? What do we need to look for? How do we need to be available? How do we interact? I mean, there's so many questions I have because, you know, we need to be the hands and feet out there identifying these victims. So can you talk a little bit about that?
Sure. So there are multiple ways that people can help or donate or volunteer. The biggest one is if you see suspicious activity, then call the hotline number, which is 1-888-373-7888. And it's completely anonymous, so you don't have to report anything about like your location or who you are. You can just say, hey, I see something. And in order to recognize those symptoms and what to look for, educational awareness training is so important. And our website actually has ways where you can learn information on what to look for. There's also ways that people can volunteer, whether they want to volunteer their time, like social media, or if you have administrative and work experience, mm-hmm. people can donate things that they make, like quilts or blankets or art furnishings or supplies. We have a GoFundMe open to raise funds for our houses so that we will be able to house the survivors and actually start the rehabilitation process. The holiday season is coming up, so if people want to do any online shopping, we are a part of Amazon Smile and Givea. So you would just select Three Levels of Greatness as your charity, and all of the proceeds are just coming directly from the company. So there's no extra money that people have to pay for. Mm-hmm. Giving Tuesday is also coming up. So there's all these different ways that people can help volunteer. You don't necessarily have to be directly involved, but any way that your skill set asks to help men just...
Okay, you cut out a little bit at the end. I don't know if we've got a bad connection, but I love the online shopping with Amazon and the Giving Tuesdays. Are you talking about a Giving Tuesday up in Ohio, or which one?
No, so Giving Tuesday is a nationwide charitable day. It was started just for people, philanthropists, who just want to give money to charities mm-hmm. that they support, and it's... nationwide, it's December 1st, Tuesday, December 1st, and you can just donate to any charity organization of your choice.
Awesome. And
we help with Three Levels of Greatness.
Yeah, that's right. So how do they find that platform? Can we share that link with everyone when we share the video?
Sure. So okay. Our media will have all of that information. Our Instagram is, and our Twitter, our Facebook, all of that will have posts for Giving Tuesday and ways that people can directly donate.
Awesome. And that's Three Levels of Greatness with the number 3, correct?
That is yes. Us.
Awesome. Yes. So what else do people need to know? Like, what are some signs of maybe someone that's in a human trafficking or a labor situation that we need to be aware of? I know that there's probably way more information that we need to know, but there's got to be some kind of tip or something, like maybe they hang out in these areas or this is what to look for.
Yeah, so now because of, you know, with COVID, we're all kind of doing a remote thing. So when COVID is over, or especially now, so nail salons, massage salons, restaurants, when you are actually in these places, and if the technician, the employee, if the one that is serving you, if they don't make eye contact, you know, they're very shy, they don't really interact sometimes. And I don't want to make people paranoid, right? And again, like Alyssa said, using the hotline, if you suspect anything, it doesn't mean that you're paranoid. It doesn't mean, it's better safe than sorry. All you have to do is call the hotline and say, hey, I was at this nail salon and it just looks a little suspicious to me. Can you just go check on this person to make sure that they're okay? So you step away from it and you let the police do what the police are supposed to do in these situations. And generally, if you are a parent of a teenager, I say a younger child, stay in their business. They don't like you to, but you have to make sure that you stay in knowing where they are going on social media, where they're going on the internet, because so many of these predators, they befriend, you know, your children. They look for the children who are having issues, you know, with their parents, the ones who post, oh, I hate my mother, you know, just because they got upset with their mother because their mother wouldn't let them do something, hang out with their friends. Oh, I hate my mother. I can't wait until I leave, you know, until I can leave this house. That's what they look for, you know? And so what they do is then they groom them and they befriend them and start a relationship with them. Next thing that they know, they say, hey, just let your, you know, tell your mother you're going down the street with your friend, you know, or to your friend's house. And the parents just don't check anymore. Stay in your children's business. I cannot stress that enough. I don't care. Let them get upset. It's better for them to be upset with you now than for them to be so, you know, caught up in this situation. You know, I say it all the time. I don't ever want to see children in our program. I just don't. I don't want to see that. So the more that we can share and tell people what not to do, you know, so that your child isn't out there. If your kids come home with new sneakers, you know, or, you know, all this new jewelry or a new telephone, and you didn't give it to them, ask them where they got it from, you know, and you need to, these are different types of signs that you can look for. If you know that your child doesn't have a job, but, you know, they're coming home with these, the latest anything, video games or whatever, you know, just walk in their room when they're saying they're on social media, on their computer, you know, just find ways to really stay involved in their business is pretty much what I say. I'm sure Alyssa didn't, and growing up, growing up. So Alyssa, neither one of us have ever, this isn't our experience. And I thank God all the time that we didn't have to experience this to help other, you know, men and women in this situation. So I am so grateful that God kept us from this. But, you know, so for us to be so passionate about this, I want to make sure that the same way we were kept from it, I want to keep other families from ever having to deal with this situation, ever.
Alyssa, sorry, were you gonna, you started to say something. I want to make sure that we give you the chance.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I just want to really hone in on that point about social media.
Uh-oh, we're losing you again. Just getting little bits and pieces.
Yeah.
Is this better?
Yes.
Yes.
I'll stop moving. Most people imagine, like, when they think of online predators as, like, these gross, old, big belly men, but it's not even really that. Like, most traffickers now are grooming teenagers, young girls, to befriend other people on the internet. So that way they're the same age group, it builds that trust. So you really do just need to be cautious of who your children are interacting with online, because they groom them and they're like, oh, I have a similar story, I'm a runaway. There's so many runaway children who are victims, and all because of they just met somebody on social media they could befriend, and it turned out to be a kidnapping thing. So just, it's very important to keep that in the back of your mind.
Yeah. Oh gosh.
And that's an excellent point, because they move from grooming to recruiting. So they got smarter, you know, these the predators got smarter with this, instead of, you know, snatching someone up or, you know, just watching them from a distance. Now they're using their victims to recruit. So that victim already has a best friend, right? They already have a cousin or a sister. And so now they move to recruiting as well as the grooming.
That's so frightening. Just,
it is.
I have young teenage kids, 14, 15, 16, and I do get accused of being a helicopter parent, and I'm like, I'm cool with that. I'm cool with that.
That's right. So. Kudos to you. Thank you. Yes.
But I'm still, I feel like there's still so much more that I could do and should do. I mean, we have, you know, we have social media filters on where if certain words are typed in, I get a post or I get a notice. But
awesome.
You know, there's code words for everything, so they don't even have to say the words that are triggering. It's scary. So
it is.
Nothing replaces that one-on-one presence and relationship. You're so right. So such a great reminder for us this morning. I feel like there's so much more that we need to know. How did you guys get started? If this wasn't your story and God just laid it on your heart, there has to be an amazing story behind this.
So I was reading this book. I was in the middle of my own manuscript, and I was reading this book. I was finishing up this book called Chase the Lion. And the premise of the book is, if your dream doesn't scare you, it's not big enough. So again, with my relationship with God, you know, that night I was being flippant with God, because I'm a international travel photographer. So I'm like, God, photography isn't scaring me. So clearly this dream isn't big enough. You know, what is it that you want me to do? That night I had dreamt of women and children in this dream, just reaching out to God, some in fetal positions, you know, crying out to God, help me, help me, help me. So just before I woke up, I heard start a safe house. So I wake up in a pool of sweat, and I'm like, there is no way in the world. I knew nothing about safe housing. I knew nothing about human trafficking. And immediately I thought the cartel. You know, I'm thinking, you know, the big bad wolf kind of thing. I was like, there's no way. Why would you ask me to get involved in this? And just as soon as I was questioning God, he told me that as long as I had trust and faith in him to do this and seek him every day, he will show me how to do this. And that was 3 years ago. And so what I did is, you know, I had submitted my manuscript. And when he told me, he said, put this in your book. And I was like, there's no way in the world I'm doing that. Because the thing was, for me, if I put it in there, then it's in print, right? Right. Then everybody knows about it. And it's like,
now so you're if accountable. It doesn't
happen, oh my gosh, right? God, he just set me up like that. So here's the kicker. I was like, I submitted my manuscript. So I was like, okay, this isn't God, because I submitted my manuscript. I said, well, let me find out from the publisher. I called her and she said, Ricky, she said, it just so happened that I was busy with something else and I didn't submit yours yet. She said, what changes do you have? And that's when I knew that I was like, okay, God, this, you know, this is just bigger than me. And then the more that I got involved in it, and then, you know, getting the staff that we have, the people that are so behind doing this, we just saw that it was just bigger than us. You know, this problem is just so huge, not just in America, you know, it's all over the world. And so any lives that we can help, you know, one life at a time, that's all we're striving for. You know, just to turn people's lives around so they don't feel like they have to go out there and sell their bodies or, you know, work for pennies on the dollar and things like that. So it was a God-given dream that happened. And I was so thankful to him again. I thank him daily. God, thank you that, you know, this isn't our story, that my daughter didn't have to go through this. You know, being a single mom here in Ohio, where it's fourth in the nation, it could have happened to us. This could have been our story. And I'm so thankful. That's why I said, God, whatever I need to do so that I can show my gratitude that you kept us from this and that we can hopefully keep other people from it. That's my driving force. That is definitely my driving force. Yep.
Well, I know you mentioned that the three levels are the housing and employment, and what is the other? I'm so sorry.
That's okay.
So you got the housing and
employment. So the first level is they come into our house for 3 months up to, or 24 months, and they basically learn like how to sweep, how to take care of themselves, just how to live alone in a house. Mm-hmm. And then the second level is the employment opportunity. So they'll either go through our 6-week training program, or they'll learn like administrative skills, office skills, mm-hmm. or they can work at, or they can get their, or we're trying to work with some partners their other licensing that they get. Basically just a job that allows them to earn their own and that. And then the third and final level, partner with Habitat for Humanity to provide affordable housing to the program participants, so they can actually move out and have a safe place to live. So upon completion of the program, they're set, they know how to, they're independent, they have their own job, their own money, they have their own place to live. And then also for the participants who have
been charged with the federal crime of prostitution or any of those charges, upon completion of our program, those charges will be expunged. So then that helps with their record and they can actually really be free and independent. Wow. So that's our three levels.
Wow. How transformational and absolutely mm-hmm. life-changing.
Yeah, because that's the most important thing is freeing them from their, what are they called, Tom? Their, who can...
You cut it free from what?
What are they, it's freeing them from that lifestyle.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
Is the most important piece, mm-hmm. giving them independence.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's... Mm-hmm. A basic human need, right? I think all of us that have it, we take it so for granted that we have mm-hmm. the opportunity to just dictate our own day or determine where or what we want to eat. And, you know, yeah. Do I want to go to work today? Do I want to call in sick? Like some people, that's not a luxury that they're offered. And that's so... Great. That's back right. to that, you know, that gratitude of, you know, I am so grateful. Mm-hmm. I think we all start out kind of young and I call myself young and dumb. Thank God I grew up in the age where there wasn't social media dictating and documenting everything I did.
Yes.
For absolutely. My children to see. But yeah, I made some, you know, very immature, stupid decisions as a kid. But today, mm-hmm. those decisions could be, you know, life-altering or life-ending because mm-hmm. the consequences mm-hmm. are so much greater for what our kids that's are facing and young adults are facing today. Right. So, that's gosh. Right.
Or to go viral. And to yeah. Alyssa's point, so a lot of the women that we see that get caught up in this, if they are being trafficked and having to go to earn their wages, if you will, as a prostitute, and they get picked up for that, those are the charges that they're facing. So it could be drug charges or prostitution. And so they're the ones who, you know, in order to come into a program like ours, they have to be arrested. And so that's the stuff that we're trying to prevent is that, you know, because one, it's already unfair to them that they got caught up in this lifestyle anyway. Right. So why keep adding on rocks to them, right? Why right. keep piling on rocks? And so, you know, the rocks we want to move out of their lives is that they don't have to be arrested, that they can, you know, come into our program, you know, sting operations instead of arresting them. You know, it's like, hey, three levels of greatness. Do you have, you know, so many beds available? The FBI, when we first started, because we're just completing our internal mm-hmm. building phase, if you will. So when we first started and this and the word got out about us, the FBI called me directly and they said, we just picked up 31 men from this chicken farm in Ohio and we have 70 women. Do you have enough space? I was like, ooh, even if we had one house open. You know, the houses can only serve as many beds as there are bedrooms. In order for me to have even helped them on that one call, I would need an apartment complex, you know, let alone a house. So that's how great the need is, you know, all over the country, really.
That's just unfathomable to me.
Isn't it? Yeah. Yep.
I would have never guessed that.
Ohio just did this thing. It was called Operation Autumn Hope. Yes. So they arrested 177 people. 45 of them were children that had been reported missing, and 109 of them were women who were picked up as prostitutes out of that sting. And then the rest were the men who were actually doing it. This was just 2 weeks ago in Ohio, in our backyard, 177 people.
They just did another sting in Virginia, in West Virginia, mm-hmm. and it was about the same numbers, like a week mm-hmm. later. So these are just happening back to back, and it's mm-hmm. really just highlighting this is a problem, mm-hmm. and we can't mm-hmm. ignore this problem anymore because it affects your kids. It affects every state where you live, every country. It affects adults. Like, we can't ignore this problem.
Mm-hmm. Why isn't this on the news more? Why isn't this more in our face? Why don't the general population know?
The news would need something to actually cover. So the only time that they would actually cover anything is if it's newsworthy. So the newsworthy part is picking them up. The newsworthy part is the sting operation. To the media, it's not enough that this is, how do you get ahead of the problem? And so for us, you know, being able to build relationships with the news media to let them know what we're doing, you know, to get it out there about anti-human trafficking so that it's not, you know, about the victims and the, you know, after it happens. So we want to get ahead of it. And it's really building relationships with the media and just letting them know that, hey, this is newsworthy. You know, this is something you should be reporting on, and not so much that, you know, now 500 of them got picked up. What do you even do with them? There's no follow-up to that story. What happened to the ones in West Virginia and the ones in Ohio? Where are they now? Yeah. You don't hear about that. And so it's really, you know, pressing the media to say, you know, this we should be hearing about this instead of some tampering. Well, I know that, never mind. I don't want to get political, but I don't want to, but you know, it's what they need. It's newsworthy. So I think what you're doing, your podcast, this is going to be huge. You know, we need more people like you that, okay, if Channel 10, Channel whatever news channel you have in your area, if they don't want to pick that up, then we have people, you know, like you that are willing to put this out there to say, hey, you know, we need to spread this, take this link, you know, share this. This is what's really happening out here, and we need your help.
Wow.
So kudos to you for even doing anything like this and wanting stories. Who wants to hear about it? You know, this isn't something that makes you jump up and down and feel good about it until you really are offering a solution.
Yeah.
You know, and to me, this is a solution. So, you know, us working hand in hand, us partnering, working together, you having us on your podcast, you know, other people doing it. So I thank you for even allowing us this avenue to get the information out there.
I'm blown away by what y'all do. I want to know more, to be more involved. I want to get my community involved. And first off, I'm humbled to be in the same cyber room or virtual room with y'all, who are just not just moving rocks. Y'all are moving mountains for the people involved. I mean, call this mountain and it's gone. Like, y'all are just literally moving mountains and calling them. And I want to thank you for being open, for being receptive, for hearing God's voice and doing something about it. Because so many of us hear things, and I mean, I am like Jonah. Like, I don't want to go to Nineveh. I can't even say Nineveh. Like, I don't want to go to Nineveh. I don't want to. Like, I'll just stay in this little field. It's all good. I'm just going to stay right here. I got my fish.
Yes.
I got my little cupping food.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You know, stepping out there is so scary, to follow something that you feel called to do and a difference that you feel so unable to make, but it's in that space that lives are changed. And kudos to me. Kudos to y'all for being rock movers and mountain movers and the hands and feet that these just humans that are so precious and valuable to the kingdom that they need.
Yes, absolutely.
Thank y'all. And I'm absolutely going to share this. I want to make sure that we give it the attention that it deserves. And I'm going to make some introductions too. I have some people going on in my head that I'm like, oh, they need to talk to these people and these people and these people, because this is a community that's going to come together to do this. And
perfect. Perfect. And so that you, just so that you're aware, one of the locations we're going to look to open up is in El Paso at some point. So yeah, we will be down there in your neck of the woods. What, I think you're like 3 hours away. Are you like?
I don't know. Texas is so huge. I could be like five states away and it'd probably be shorter, but it okay. doesn't matter. Okay. It doesn't matter. Yeah. We're gonna connect and
awesome.
I'm gonna see whatever I can do to support y'all.
Awesome. We appreciate it.
The border towns of any area, I'm sure, are very they're just transitional. People are just coming and going and people get looked over, and that's when stuff happens. I mean, we've got, I-35 and I-45 and I-20 and I-30 coming through this area. So it's so easy for people to just get picked up and missed. And
yes. Yes. So, yes, absolutely.
I just bless whatever your hands are set to do, because y'all are doing some amazing things.
You.
And I know that Alyssa's got to check out of a hotel before they come and throw her out.
We don't want that.
We don't want that. So I want to be really respectful of y'all's time. And
yeah, thank you.
I could talk to y'all forever, because there's so much good that you're doing. But we're going to put on here how they can connect to y'all. We're going to put on here how they can support you.
Perfect.
And you and I are going to stay in touch, because there's
wonderful
good things going on here.
Wonderful.
But I will share this on a Fangirl Friday. And let's see so my Fridays, I do Fangirl Fridays, and y'all are going to be, we're going to be sharing this on probably December 4th. So 1st of December, we're going to kick off. Y'all are going to be my Fangirl Friday for December. I am absolutely y'all's fans. I just think you're amazing, amazing women. Amazing women, amazing humans, and I just want to uplift and support you and encourage you in any way that I can. And today, it's just giving you a voice with my community and my tribe of rock moving women. So,
if you feel led,
please reach out to these women. Please don't diminish your ability. The power of one is so powerful when it's joined with people like this. So,
absolutely.
Be a part, get involved, and move rocks in your community. So thank you, ladies, for being here. I absolutely adore and love you both. You're just beautiful women, even with your cool shades on, sitting outside in the sun. Ricky's the bomb. So thank you. Is there anything you want to share before we sign off for the day?
Again, thank you for having both my daughter and I. As you can see, she's not just my daughter. She's super smart. I see why, she had to be raised the way that she is. She does me proud all the time. I thank you for having us. We look forward to, growing with your community. We look forward to making a difference as, you help us in identifying the rocks that we want to move that, like you said, we're moving mountains. We can speak to that mountain, and by faith, it will be moved. And so we're going to make everlasting changes, one life at a time. So thank you. One rock at a time.
No doubt. One rock. We are moving those rocks together. And together as a collective, we can move more. So I'm on.
Thank you.
I'm on board. I'm in. So Alyssa, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Great job, Liz.
Thanks.
Thank you so much, Karen. It was great seeing you.
Hey, it's Karen. Just one more word before we go. I just wanted to say thank you so much for listening and for supporting our Rock Movers family. I want to invite you to connect with me on Facebook, LinkedIn, or Instagram. Just search for Coach Karen Gray. And if you're interested in becoming a guest on the show or learning about how we could work together in the coaching space, just send me an email at karen@coachkarengray.com. Until next time, just remember to keep moving those rocks.